Hello, sports fans, and welcome to another edition of Yesterday Sports on the Sports History Network. And make sure to check out sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways. I have two signed books I'm giving away. One is titled No Nonsense, Old School Weight Training, and the other is Reliving 1970s Old School Football.
You know from past Football History Rewind episodes that the years of 1906 through 1912 were some really big years of adopting the forward pass and changing the offensive play of the game. Well, 1910 has some very important rules in the passing game, and we're going to start covering them here in part one of this series on 1910 in just a moment.
This is the Pigskin Daily History Dispatch, a podcast that covers the anniversaries of American football events throughout history on a day-to-day basis. Your host, Darren Hayes, is podcasting from America's North Shore to bring you the memories of the gridiron one day at a time. So as we come out of the tunnel of the Sports History Network, let's take the field and go no huddle through the portal of positive gridiron history with PigskinDispatch.com.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at SportsHistoryNetwork.com.
Hello, my football friends. This is Darren Hayes of PigskinDispatch.com. Welcome once again to the Pigpen, your portal to positive football history. And today we're going to go into our football history rewind. And we are in part number 27, and we're going to talk about the 1910 season. This will be part one of two on the 1910 season. Now, 1910 joint sessions of the intercollegiate and conference committees established a lot of reform, especially in the area of retooling the offensive side of the ball. The last two parts of the series, we saw how rough injury plagued the strategies of mass momentum and interlock blocking were banned by the revisions of 1910. The committees also recognized that by stripping the offenses of these weapons, which were the mainstays of offensive strategy in that era, the defense would gain a definite advantage over the opposition. Football could not survive without balanced attacks between the offensive and defensive sides of the ball. And the football minds of 1910 saw the passing game as one tool that could be tweaked to retain the balance needed. Now, the Rules Committee decided that the passes would be effective, but they had to be thrown from 5 yards behind the line and could travel no further than 20 yards beyond the line of scrimmage. So he had to be 5 yards behind the line of scrimmage, and it can only go 20 yards in the air downfield. Now, this conservative reform by today's standards was more than made up of in revisions to the pass interference rules. The first rule to handle this subject, it's a real dandy, and it's best described by the actual verbiage used in 1910. And here's what they said. No player of either side, while in the act of catching a forward pass, shall be tackled, thrown, pushed or pulled, shouldered, or straight-armed until he shall have caught the ball and taken one or more step in any direction, provided that any such interference, which incidental to a bona fide attempt or to catch or intercept the pass, shall not come within this prohibition. Note, if a forward pass is merely touched or fumbled by a player, no players of either side may even interfere with an opponent until the ball is actually in a possession of the player, except in a bona fide attempt to get the ball. Wow, that is saying a lot. Now, in some ways, that is so much clearer than the NFL's interference rules of the last 20 years. And other things with the fumble, well, that's just kind of crazy. So I think you tear that rule apart and put the pass interference rules into today's NFL, it'd be a much clearer cut case than what they're doing, because I don't know if anybody understands it. Now, this rule back in 1910 is quite interesting when examined. On one hand, it says that the first person to touch a forward pass has every right to try and obtain it in his possession without hindrance of being touched by anyone until he does possess a ball and take one step towards any direction. This is, of course, unless that hindering a player was trying to get the ball. Does that sound familiar? Yeah, it does. Most likely where the rule premise of playing the ball and not the man came into being. And with the very emphasis of the forward pass itself, we have since the inception of interference rule tweaked it by allowing contact by an opponent to a potential receiver who has merely touched the ball, but other than a modification of the rules, still pretty much stands the same today as it did almost 100 years ago. Now, the offensive restrictions were addressed also, and the passing rule revisions had other solid rules in 1910 that are still the basis for rules in the 21st century. A revision of 1910 made it illegal for offensive players to make any contact behind the line of scrimmage during a pass play until the ball was caught by any player. Again, the premise of catching the ball has been replaced by that of simply touching the ball. But it's the foundation of the restrictions of contact by offensive players beyond the neutral zone for forward passes that go beyond the zone. This rule had few exceptions in 1910, and though it included allowing offensive contact downfield in an attempt to advance the ball by running after the catch in an actual attempt to catch a pass. The other exception was after the play had gone 20 yards beyond the line of scrimmage. The defensive players, well, they were allowed to use their hands to push and pull opponents out of the way to get to the ball or the man carrying it. An interesting note to all of this is that a player was not considered to have crossed the line of scrimmage until he was past every defensive player who had started on the line of scrimmage at the play's onset. Only offensive players who started on their team's end of the line or in the backfield were allowed to touch a forward pass. And also, the team that put the ball in play on that particular scrimmage play could attempt a forward pass. So that's pretty much the same. The only one that can attempt a forward pass is the team that snapped the ball one time and on most levels of football. And only offensive players that started on their team's line of scrimmage or in the backfield are allowed to offer a forward pass. So they had to be the end of the line, you know, the ends. No interior linemen are allowed to go out for a pass. Very, very simple. The rule is 120-some years old now. 110 some years old now. So just a great rule, and it's standard the test of time, and definitely makes football very unique itself. Now, the defense have had restrictions and exceptions too in these rules. The players of the defense were under almost the same restrictions as the offensive players on the forward pass beyond the line of scrimmage due to the 1910 revisions. They could only contact an offensive player who possessed the ball and had taken one step unless they were making a play on the ball or trying to get the man with the ball. They could also not contact offensive players during a kick play from scrimmage unless it traveled at least 20 yards beyond the line of scrimmage. They could make this contact on scrimmage kick shorter than 20 yards, provided that their hands were close to their bodies in an attempt to ward off or obstruct opponents from getting into a player who was carrying the ball. The Great Revisions of 1910 did not end there, though. And to give them justice, we must use just another edition of this series to complete them. And we're going to complete the 1910 rules in part number 28 and give you some great looks at who won the collegiate champions and who the best pro team was in 1910 as well. So tune back tomorrow as we get into more of the rules and the football year of 1910. And we're sure glad that you joined us here once again on Pigskin Dispatch. Hope you'll join us tomorrow for that part two and each and every day, because we have football history coming to you each and every day of the year. And we also have this Sports Jersey Dispatch, where we are bringing you some great sports history from all team sports and all competitions where they use numbers to display themselves and make themselves unique. And we're learning a lot of great sports history. It's my personal quest to learn more about the games and the players and the fantastic evolutions of teams and games just by looking at their uniforms. That's jerseydispatch.com, the Sports Jersey Dispatch podcast on your favorite podcast provider or on the Sports History Network. So make sure you check those out. And Sports History Network, just a bunch of great guys and gals that are putting together some fantastic podcasts for you on sports history. I think you're really going to enjoy it. And I hope you check it out, sportshistorynetwork.com. Until tomorrow, everybody, have a great gridiron day. Peeking up at the clock, the time's running down. We're going to go into victory formation, take a knee, and let this baby run out. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you back tomorrow for the next podcast. We invite you to check out our website, pigskindispatch.com, not only to see the daily football history, but to experience positive football with our many articles on the good people of the game, as well as our own football comic strip, Cleat Marks Comics. Pigskindispatch.com is also on social media outlets, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and don't forget the Pigskin Dispatch YouTube channel to get all of your positive football news and history. A special thanks to the talents of Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff, for letting us use their music during our podcast.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com.
Hey there, football fans. This is Ross, the host of the Pigskin Tales podcast. I just need a few moments of your time to talk about the host of the Pigskin Dispatch podcast, Darren Hayes. He's expanded the Pigpen to search out information on the history of all team sports. It's a quest to find out about the competitors, teams, and places chronicled throughout athletic history through the uniforms and gear the participants used and wore. And he is taking you, the listener, with him on this educational journey to preserve sports history on the Sports Jersey Dispatch, found here on the Sports History Network. His newest podcast, called Jersey Dispatch, is all based on the jerseys that all the greats used to wear. You can find Darren Hayes and the Pigskin Dispatch podcast, as well as Jersey Dispatch, on your favorite podcast provider multiple times each week. So remember that Darren Hayes, the host of the Pigskin Dispatch and Jersey Dispatch podcasts, is found right here on the Sports History Network.